Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells his grandson, "A fight is going on inside me, and it's a terrible fight. You see, this fight is between two wolves. One wolf is evil. It is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, full of greed and arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority. It lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, though, the other wolf is good. This wolf is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, full of humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. This same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson, he thought about it for a minute. He looked up and asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed."
Yeah.
Afternoon or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos, que tal, namaste, oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosts and duties live every Monday and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Holding down the other half of our host and duty, some call him the Lions Historian, others call him Unc. I just simply call him my best friend because he's my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? How you doing tonight?
What's up, Wilfredo?
What's up,
my man? What's up? Who you with?
Yeah, right on.
I'm just, you know, I'm chilling, man. I'm easing along. Sometimes it ain't too early to tell. Sometimes, you know, I can tell things things are moving along. Okay. Moving along. Okay. Yeah. So I won't spend a whole lot of time on that. Hey, excuse me. Hope that didn't come across. If it did, I apologize. How you doing?
Oh, man, doing good. Doing good. You know, another night with you, kicking it on the air.
Amen.
Bridging the gaps of generations. You know what we do, man. Sharing interpretation and feelings every Monday and Wednesday, man. You know.
I kind of got to, you know, I think I forget, and I don't know if we remind each other often enough that's really the motto. That's like the mission statement. And sometimes we get caught up in it and don't realize, well, that's what we're doing. Sometimes bridging the gap means having disagreement, you know, from perspectives, you know, like, well, last week or the week before, we kind of bumped a little bit, you know, rocked it a little bit. It got real, you know, but I mean, it ain't no phone slamming. It ain't no cussing out. It ain't no life threats going on. It's sometimes it takes a minute to span that gap of the generations, and dialogue, I think, is always the key. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, my man. You know, not necessarily on the air when we're on the radio, but, you know, people don't know about the behind the scenes or, you know, just our history itself. I mean, you know, we've had our moments, man, but even in those, you know, those moments still, I mean, we're here, you know, even those disagreements or those arguments or even something even more, you know, we're
Amen.
Here.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we're still doing
All right, man, I'm not going to, yeah, I'm not going to, you know, because I could turn that into the whole show. So, yeah, so I'm not going to do that, man. I'm going to let you take care of your due diligence and get out the way, man.
All right. We'll save that, ladies and gentlemen, for another conversation for another night, as we say. So as we begin every show, again, Monday and Wednesday nights, we are live on blogtalkradio.com/greenhouseeffects, Greenhouse FX, the letter FX. Before we begin every show, we'd just like to remind our listeners and the million and millions of listeners out there, just a few things. Excuse me. The first thing, we just want to make sure that you grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, I don't know, back of an envelope, or even a napkin if you got it. What it is, we just want to make sure that you've got something to write with. You just never know. You may have a question, a comment, something you might want to share with us and the listening audience out there, or who knows? You know, listening to us tonight, you may even pick up something that you just want to make sure you hold on to. So we want to make sure that either you don't forget or you don't miss it. So grab that pen and pad or whatever you got. Make sure you got something to write with. The other thing we'd like to remind you is that on our live shows, we offer the opportunity for you to engage and talk with us as well. You don't have to just sit here and listen to us like other podcasts for an hour. You have the option of actually engaging in talking and engaging with us on our show. So there's a few ways you can do it. One way is that you can call in directly. Our phone number here, and hopefully you got that pen and pad handy. Our phone number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And just press 1 on your keypad when you're ready to come in. Hey, I'm telling you, don't wait on us. Because here on the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, we believe in the motto, we use 1,000 words because 100 words just won't do. So just press 1 on the keypad, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. Your number will light up in our queue. Another way that you can engage with us is directly on Blog Talk Radio with your free Blog Talk Radio profile for your account. You can engage with us in the chat room, which I believe is already, I'm sure Dad has already kicked. Yeah, he's already going already. I already see you guys in there. Beautiful already. That's what's up. So we have a chat room right. That's available for you. When you go on Blog Talk Radio, again, slash the Greenhouse Effect. If you go to the bottom of the screen, you will see the chat room there. You can engage with us. And, of course, we have the always, whatever. We have Facebook that you can use to engage with us as well. I'm sure many of you have received invitations. So in the event page that you receive the invitation, you can just go to the discussion tab and you can ask any questions, comments, anything like that as well. So that's just, you know, a few things we have for you, you know. So hopefully, you know, we like to hear what's on your mind. We like to hear from you. So don't hesitate. Just hit us up and let us know. Don't wait on us to tell you when the phone lines are open. The phone lines, the chat room, Facebook, it's open. Just hit us up.
Yeah, and if we have a chance to call on you, we will. Guaranteed. But there may be a chance that we won't have the chance, you know. Guaranteed. But either way it goes. Right on, man. Beautiful job as always. I love the way you do that, man. Very, very smooth. Yes, sir. So, man, I kind of wanted to jump in your shadow for a second and, you know, want to ask you to review the gas tip you gave us last week. Interesting enough, you know, it was a post that my niece put out, my niece Jan put out, Ray's wife, put out earlier today. And I hit her back and said, the irony of it is, like, reading the post she made, very detailed, from this guy who works in the petroleum industry. You know, I kind of hope my text to her didn't come out, you know, bragging or anything. I just was really talking about the synchronicity of the fact that you had just talked almost, not as thoroughly, but almost as detailed last week about the very things that you were highlighting as far as tips, you know. So I think that's, you know, worthy of repeat, man, if you want to.
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, why not? You know, for the last, I think almost for the last 4 weeks, if you will, we've been talking about and looking at, you know, how gas has been increasing. And, we, you know, we've been talking about different ways that, you know, options that help people save money. you know, just looking at the cost of gas now, like the national average here is $4.95 a gallon. That's the national average. And, you know, I'm in Illinois, Dad. So, man, be glad that you're down in where you are in Texas right now. Texas is only averaging about $4.62 right now a gallon. But here in Illinois,
well, where we are, it's 470, but that's all right. Go
is
ahead.
It 470? It's just, you know what's crazy about this, and I'll get into the tips in just a minute. What's crazy is that these numbers are steadily increasing, like within the last 48 hours. You know, I think earlier we talked,
well,
and I was
where
like,
we are in Texas. You know, Texas is a big state, so there may be other places. It is what you said. You know, it's just been. I was joking with you earlier, saying it's been at 469. And holding, you know, so whatever that means, but it's still 469, man, you know, but go ahead.
I mean, no, I get it, because like, if you on the south side of Chicago, look, man, you're going to be paying, you're going to be paying at least $6 a gallon. All right. It's crazy how gas is always expensive in your low income. Why is gas expensive in the low income areas anyway? But anyway, that's another story for another
because
subject.
They charge, I can tell you why, they charge gas tanker protection fees to go into the black hood. They had that on the tax, man. You know, that's protection fees, man, to get them in and out.
That's crazy. It's not like some Mad Max Road Warrior stuff, man.
I'm telling you.
Protection fees.
Oh, man.
But here in Illinois, man, it's gone up, man. We're now the third highest. Really, I say we're the sixth highest state. It's gone up to the third highest now. We're at 553. $5.53 a gallon. And the only two states that are higher than us is California and Nevada. How the heck?
And that's
anyway.
Deep Nevada, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you know.
Man. Well, you know, Illinois always prides itself on being first in anything.
Oh, my God.
Why not gas?
As long as the citizens pay for it, that's what it is. So anyway,
give us them hints, man. Give us those suggestions.
So number one, you know, when you're going to get your gas, the best time to get your gas is early in the morning, when the ground temperature is still cold. Remember that service stations have their storage tanks below ground. So the colder the ground, the more dense the gas is, right? When it gets warmer, the gas expands. So buying in the afternoon or the evening, your gallon isn't really a gallon, you know? So you have to be aware of, you know, seriously, you have to be aware of where your tank is. And I know a lot of times by habit, a lot of us be like, oh, I'll just get it tomorrow. Oh, I can just ride when the light is on. It's like, you know, your car is like, okay, your tank is low. You need to get some gas. You'd be like, I can get home and just wait till later. If you're going to do that, make sure you get out first thing in the morning. Again, it's better to do it in the morning when it's cold rather than later on when it gets warmer, period. The second thing is when you're filling up the tank, don't squeeze the trigger all the way to the fast mode. A lot of us like to just pull the handle all the way up, lock it in on that third level.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, we want to get in and out, right? Yeah. We ain't got time for this. I'm
going
to go.
Right.
And I get it, you know, especially if you got places that might be, you know, you got a line or something. Like I go to Sam's Club, right? And there's a line and a half of people trying to get gas. And you may feel pressured. Let me hurry up and get some gas. Man, look, don't do it. You don't have to pull it up hard. Pump it on the low level, low mode. You minimize the vapors that are created when you're pumping.
Yeah,
all holes at the pump has a vapor return. And if you're pumping on a fast rate, some of the liquid that goes to your tank becomes vapor, right? So those vapors are being sucked back, up and back into the underground storage. So you're actually getting less worth for your money. So take your time. You ain't got to lock it in. Just pull it up. Let it go slow. Take your time. All right? And trust me, it will save you some money. People be like, oh, I don't know. This gas is going so fast. That's because you're pulling it up and it's going to. That's exactly why. So another tip, it's really better to fill up your tank when you're at half full, instead of waiting. And I joked around just a minute ago how we kind of ride it out and wait till the light comes on and, you know, things like that. But it's really better to fill it up when the tank is half full. The reason is that the more gas you have in your tank, the less air is occupying the empty space. Gas evaporates faster than you can imagine. Gas storage tanks have what's called an internal floating roof, if you will. This roof serves as a zero clearance between the gas and the atmosphere, so it minimizes the vaporization. So, you know, it's just,
all right.
Don't wait too long for that. All right. And the last thing, and I've been doing this for years, is that when you're going to a station, right? You're like, okay, I need this gas, and you see one of these tankers refilling the storage tanks underneath or whatever, do not fill up. You know, I know that, and hopefully you may have an opportunity to go to another station. You know, the problem is that when you see the tankers filling up the storage units underneath, what happens is that the gas that's being pumped back into the station, it kicks up a lot of dirt that settles at the bottom of the storage tanks. So you're getting a lot of that dirt and other whatever into your
impediments.
Thank you. You know, into your vehicle. So if you can help it, you know, don't fill up your tank when you see it, when you see a tanker or a truck or whatever refilling the storage tanks underneath. So, you know, and I've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah. And what's crazy is, you know, like inexperienced as I have been in regards to that, and I see it a tanker truck in the gas station, I'm thinking, ah, bet, fresh gas.
Right.
I never thought about, you know, the storage tank at the bottom having impediments in it to get stirred up. You know, I mean, wow, isn't that something? You mean gas isn't perfectly clean like they advertise on the pumps? No, go ahead, man. Sorry. I just wanted to just mention that. Yeah.
No, I mean, but you're amazed at how many people would think that. You know, this gas been sitting there for a while, and it might not be, you know, and you know, we kind of have.
It ain't
that.
As gassy.
Yeah. It ain't been sitting there, you know, it ain't stale, you know, like gas is going to get stale, man, you know, but, you know, I get it. And that's the kind of, the thought process is there, but, you know, like anything that holds something, you're going to get dirt and, like you said, settlements and things like that. That's going to just come at the bottom, you know. But again, when that stuff is going into the you know, when they filling it back up again, it can get into your tanks, it can get into your fuel injection systems, you know. So again, if you're like, oh man, that gas got my ride messed up. You think about that, then maybe it might have been when they were filling up the storage units underneath. Or maybe you feel like the gas is running quicker than you realize. Number one, you realize the gas is running quicker than you realize because of the money. You know, we have a different mindset when we spend more money on something versus when it doesn't cost us that much. You know, it's like, oh, you know, we don't really pay attention to how fast gas goes. If it was like $3.50 a gallon, whatever, you know, I just fill it up again. But when it's $5.50 a gallon, you're going to notice every little bit of that line decreasing, you know, on your dashboard. You know what I mean? So so that was just a few tips, another reminder again on how you, you know, can maybe save a little bit of pennies here and there. I see Adam had commented in the chat room. He was asking about some, and here in Illinois, I believe, reward points. Right. Earlier I mentioned, like last month I mentioned about taking advantage of any credit cards you have or any gas cards you have, whatever you have, to see if there's any opportunities you have, any reward systems, anything like that that offers you anything back for gas that you use. Yeah. 10 cents, 20 cents, like Adam said, 30 cents. I mean, pennies count, man. You know, so if you have some kind of
when it gets to be
system,
this high, absolutely.
Yeah. If you got a credit card that offers you cash back, use it.
Yeah.
Just make sure you can pay it back and keep your credit good. You know what I mean? But
well, and then that's the other thing. Credit cards sometimes have, you know, extreme percentage, finance percentages charged back, you know, to the account. So it's a numbers game. It's a matter of, you know, like Ray Nephew Ray teased me the other day. I said I was planning a trip to KC, you know, and I got a bump. I got a credit card that came in through the mail, and I was telling him, I said, yeah, man, you know, I got this card. You know, and I didn't have to pay for my gas. And he started laughing. Yeah, because you got a credit card that says your gas is free. We're not going to charge you for it. And of course, what I meant was I didn't have to come out of my pocket, you know. But, you know, sometimes we just don't think along those lines. We think for convenience sake, I use my credit card. You know, and like you said, with prices this high, be careful because you might, you know, overtap your balance, and then you're dealing with that overcharge. So, yeah. It's a numbers game right now, man. Yeah, and you know, that's, I think, what in the end you're telling us, you know, to be aware of where you can cut corners, where you can save money, and where you can be a conscious consumer and recognize that gas isn't water, you know. And I think another point you made is that gas evaporates really fast.
Really
fast. You know, and so, you know, the value of what you were saying earlier about, you know, temperature makes a difference. Yeah,
yeah.
Man, right on.
Yeah, you know, and just one last thing, you know, and this doesn't cost anything, and I use this app called Gas Buddy, and the thing I like about using this app, Gas Buddy, is that it can give me a range of prices in my immediate area. It will let me know the lowest to the highest price in my immediate area. You'll be surprised. There are some gas stations that may have a low rate, but you won't really know it, you know, because you're used to, you know, we have our own routine. You know, we have a routine on how we travel and things like that. So we know the gas stations and we know, you know, what's around us. But sometimes there are some stations you just right around the corner that you never went to that could be 20 cents less than the one that you normally go to. So I just like using this app. So check it out. You know, I don't get nothing for this promotion, you know, so hopefully you get something for it and hopefully it'll help you, you know, again, save some of these pennies, you know, and take care of what you need to take care of. So.
Yeah. Amen. You know, right on, man. And humans are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and habits are all too often hard to break, no matter what the perks may be. And it's no different, you know, than considering an electric vehicle versus a gas operated one, or one that burns fossil fuels, you know. So, you know, there's things to consider along the way. Right on, man. You know, that sometimes, even though it may be breaking the mold, even though it may be breaking a habit, even though it may be, you know, tag, I don't get to drag race anymore. I mean, how you going to drag race in a Prius, right? Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, just, you know, being adult, whatever that means. Amen. Right on, Ray. You know, Ray said, if only there was an invention that we can eventually use that doesn't require petrol. He said, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, right.
You know, and, you know, maybe considering electric vehicles may be a worthy investment at some point. You know, even if prices recede. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, that's a permanent cure, you know, for a temporary problem. Just not going gas anymore. I mean, you know, like, at some point, we humans have to consider, you know, do we want to be an advocate to Greenpeace, you know, that is the healthy existence of this planet, or do we want to continue to poison our air and our drinking water? At some point, we're going to have to ask ourselves, you know. And the thing is, it may not be my generation so much, you know, but what I fail to do is going to cause havoc in the generations behind me, and your generation, the generations behind you, and the generations behind you, you know. So again, the generations that follow them. So again, you know, habits are passed, all too often habits are passed down. You know, what a child sees an adult do, the tendency is to emulate it if there's no other examples, you know, mm-hmm. that would provide different options. Yeah, so right on, man. Yeah. It's more to it than just saving a couple pennies at the gas pump. You know, it's a matter of understanding that domino effect. Yeah, right on, Will.
Yeah. You know, and you said something about the numbers game, and even looking at, you know, we have a vehicle that uses pure petrol, uses gas. Now we have hybrids that have, use gas and electric. Well, now we have vehicles that's strictly electrical. So again, it's just, you know, what works for you. You know, electric vehicles sound cool, but, you know, it ain't cheap, you know, and if you have any issues with the system, you know, with the engines and things like that, it ain't cheap. So again, it's just a numbers game and just seeing what's best for you. And you know, who knows?
Yeah. If you're cool, I'm going to kind of shift a little bit into a segue of climate change. Is that cool? Or you got some more wrap up with the gas?
No, I mean, I think this kind of goes along with climate change as well. You know, looking at all these things that we're talking about, and like you just said a minute ago, and how our actions can affect the next generation and the generation after that. So, go ahead, go for it.
Yeah, well, you know, because I also would like to, you know, get in and out of climate change as thoroughly and effectively as possible so I can, you know, move into NAPS. NAPS, N-A-P-S, you know, and that's all I'm saying about that right now. That's just an alert tease, so to say.
NAPS.
So the thing about climate, you know, the first question is, you know, I mean, are we really concerned? Are we really that concerned? You know, I mean, Congress doesn't seem to be, you know, and there are lawmakers, which I think people forget. President Reagan once said the trees are the cause of air pollution. And
right.
He was president when he said it. You know, oh, that ain't right. That's ludicrous. But anyway, so that's as good of a jumping off point as anything to consider, you know. So what is climate change anyway? Increased levels of carbon dioxide produced by the use of fossil fuels that are released in the atmosphere. You know, now, okay, fossil fuels, well, you know, think of what fossils are. Look it up if you're not clear. But that's pretty much the base of what we use when we buy and burn gas. Difficulty breathing and complications from asthma, lung or cardiovascular diseases, and even infant mortality rates are all increased due to worsening air pollution, not to mention that climate change is also lengthening pollen season, which I am a member of, millions of, Will, millions.
Millions
of allergy sufferers, adverse
right.
reactions for longer periods of time each year. So as this issue, continues to extend, so does these difficulties. And I am one who, you know, like needs to remind myself, because sometimes it can be a little bit paranoid, you know, thinking that, you know, I'm just really stretching this out too far. It's really not this. It's really not that. I'm being a hypochondriac. No, you know, just because you don't see it, which sometimes we do, the quality of the air has a tremendous negative, if it's really polluted, has a tremendous impact on allergies, man, in ways sometimes we're not used to, you know. So, you know, while pollen is certainly different from air pollution, both are increased by the rise, you know, in this issue of climate change that we're dealing with right now. Now, you know that I love this old TV series that only ran for like 2.5 seasons called The Newsroom. Yeah, and there's an episode in it. It's season 3, episode 3, called Main Justice, for anybody who has watched and enjoyed Newsroom or is curious just to check it out. Don't even worry about any of the other seasons or nothing like that. You know, just check out season 3, episode 3. Now, I might be wrong. It might be episode 4, you know, but I'm pretty sure it's titled Main Justice. And this particular episode, I'm just going to go through it real quick. And Newsroom is based on some aspects of fact. So periodically, they'll put a date up. And then the story for that particular episode of that particular night will be about a particular date in history. Like they had an episode on Bin Laden, you know, being killed. They had an episode on the Deepwater Horizon blowing up in the Gulf, you know, and they put the dates up, you know, the bombing that happened at the Boston Marathon, you know. So the issue about climate control had its own sequence of events tied into other parts of the episode. But, you know, yeah, and Ray also mentioned, you know, like had an episode on Gabby Gifford, you know, being shot. And if you don't know this guy, I think his first name is Aaron Sorkin. You know, he's an incredible writer in that one of his techniques, he brings his writing to life by people having to talk really fast. So you have a lot, it really helps to have closed captions when you're watching this because they talk really fast. And you have closed captions you can follow. But anyway, this particular episode, this guy, his name is Richard Westbrook. He's like a deputy director of the EPA. Now, I tried to look up to see if I tried to look up on the internet to see if I could find this name. It's really being this guy's name. I had no success, but I kind of ran out of time, so I really didn't pursue it as much as I wanted to. But the point being, whether his character is fictional or not, he represents the EPA as the deputy director during the Obama administration. And they brought him on the show of the newsroom to be interviewed by the anchor. He's kind of like a Brian Williams kind of guy. You know, he's supposed to be the second most popular anchor. Now, that's all, you know, fictitious, but it still has a resonance in regards to the way, you know, news works in cable. So being interviewed by the anchor, of course, the obvious question was, well, why are you? Why the deputy director? Why not the boss? And, you know, during the Obama administration, Congress constantly blocked Obama from appointing a director of the EPA. So the deputy director was the best that they had. And, you know, so it's like kind of like a rudderless ship, you know, that everybody has their degrees, everybody has their awareness, everybody has their knowledge, everybody has their scientific beliefs based on fact. But at the same time, there's no, the ship doesn't have a rudder. So everybody is giving their opinion about a singular problem. So this particular guy, Richard Westbrook, did I say Russell? I did. Yeah, sorry about that. Richard Westbrook is the name of the character, and he came in for this interview. And so, you know, the anchor just started right in. So what's up? You know, and my man started out by saying the latest measurements taken at the Mauna Loa site in Hawaii indicates a CO level of 400 parts per million. And he went on to say, when answering the question that the anchor presented, can you give us an understanding of what that means, you know, 400 parts per million? Can you speak to us like we're the patient and you're the doctor and give us your diagnosis? He said, when the question is hypothetically presented regarding a doctor giving a diagnosis to a patient, my man said that the person has already been born who will die from catastrophic failure of the planet. Now, and he said that, everybody in the news studio just kind of froze like deer with their eyes and their headlights. They were like, what did he just say? You know, he said, you know, the person has already been born who will die from catastrophic failure of the planet. Nobody expected that response, of course. And he went on to say that the last time CO2 levels, and now this is based on, you know, fact. This isn't just a comic exercise in media exposure. This is really true, you know, factually anyway. You know, he goes on to say that the last time CO2 levels were this high, the oceans were 80 feet higher than they are now. And he went on to say half the world's population lives within 120 miles of an ocean. I sure didn't know that. Well, I don't know if you did. You never shared it with me. That's
no.
Kind of phenomenal. Half the world's population lives within 120 miles of the ocean. And so he was asked, you know, knowing that situation being true, could he give an example of the situation being so dire? And my man said, you have a house that's burning to the ground. The situation is dire. Your house is already burned to the ground. The situation's over. You know, and it's like my man wasn't cutting any corners. He was trying to tell the interviewer, look, man, it's over. I'm sorry. And so when asked if there was any hope, he says, well, it's as if you're sitting in a car in your garage with the engine running and you slip into unconsciousness, and that's it. And so the anchor was getting kind of pissed. Now, he said, no. He said, so what if somebody comes in and shows up in time and opens your door? And my man said, yeah, well, you know, that would work if he had showed up 20 years ago. So anyway, you know, the point being that, and this show ended, I think, about, what, 10 years ago? The point being that the situation of climate control is out of control. And because we live in a country that has so much phobia around intelligence, it's really hard for the lawmakers to accept the fact that science knows more than they do for convenience sake. You know, it's like, let's get convenience out the way and let's look at the quality of life. this is the issue at hand. You know, if we don't recognize the severity of the very environment that we inhabit, we do become just what my man said in Matrix. We're like a virus. All we're doing is just consuming, and we just consume and consume and consume and expand until whatever we're feeding on, or in our case it would be the natural resources, are just used up. You know, and so in this sense, used up means the way it is given off. So what's emitted is what's killing us. You know, gradually enough, I guess, that we're becoming conditioned to our health issues. We're becoming conditioned, you know, to our difficulty in functioning and not recognizing, you know, that the long term and the long reach effects of, well, having difficulty breathing is going to cause some struggle with functionality, I think, but what do I know, right? I mean, you know, so what if you can't breathe? You know,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of need to breathe, anyway. Right? I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it's
man,
a basic
you know?
Function, and, function you know, to live.
Yeah. And, you know, like we can, you know, some people can hold their breath underwater for 3, 4, 5 minutes. You know, some people can, you know, go days without, you know, drinking water, without eating, you know, food, you know. But comparatively speaking, holding your breath, you know, has a far shorter expansion than going without water, you know. So if I only have 3 minutes that I can hold my breath and that's it. And, you know, the funny thing is what a lot of us don't think about, at least maybe I shouldn't say a lot of us, just most of those who I know, we don't even consider the fact that we don't have to think about breathing, you know. And probably if we did, we all would just drop dead, you know, in a matter of seconds. But we don't have to, you know, it's our autonomic nervous system does our breathing for us. So maybe that's why we don't tend to think about the quality of the air, because we're not really conscious of the struggle of the mechanism. You know, we just take it for granted that it's going to do what it always does. And that's fine, except when other issues start showing up, if we're not aware of the symptoms, you know, we can't really get to the crux of the problem. And if science, meaning even our medical doctors, can't convince us that, you know, part of your problem has to do with your breathing, if we don't understand that, then I guess it really doesn't matter what, you know, what the scientific world is trying to tell us. So there it is. I don't, you know, that's what I wanted to just talk about in some degree regarding climate change and regarding, you know, the issues that we're facing that aren't getting better. And when you make a suggestion about gas, it's more than just saving pennies, you know. It's also recognizing that, you know, maybe it's a gift in some ways. Maybe with the increase in gas will cause us to drive less, you know, and maybe through that, you know, that sacrifice of driving less will stop being so dependent on oil, you know, to get around. Maybe we'll do things like walk, but then even in walking means we're going to have to breathe a lot.
know, right. right, right. You know, I was about to say I can ride my bike, man. But duh.
Yeah, man. You know, so you know, it's amazing how it's just not an everyday conversation we're having. Man is the only creature that poisons his drinking water and his breathing air. You know, and yet we depend on science to rescue us. But then we doubt what science is telling us. It's, you know, in America, I mean, other parts of the world seem to really get it, you know. And I would assume that at one point, this part of the world really was the leader in getting it. But somehow, you know, politics and profit has kind of taken the place of common sense, where sense isn't really that common anymore. So I don't know if you have any questions or thoughts about that, but you know,
no,
there
it
is.
I was just thinking about what I just told you, you know, just yesterday, you know, how I was dealing with headaches. And I was just, I just was drained, man. I just didn't have a lot of energy yesterday, man. And I had these headaches and, you know, you and I, you know, have a history of sinus and allergy headaches and things like that. But, you know, in just our text messaging, it caused me just to review and think about, you know, like my last 48 hours. And I found myself traveling back and forth between Chicago and Indiana and in Gary, you know, in Gary and in the East Chicago, you know, around the steel mills, around the gas, the BP gas areas or whatever. And
refinery,
thank you. Yeah, the gas refineries, you know, and just being around those areas for like the last 48, you know, 2.5 days or so, just really got me to thinking like that may contribute to some of the issues that I was having, you know, and it was raining too, and it was smelling like the sewer, you know, because of the rain and kicking up the smell out the sewer and, you know, the gas smells from the refineries and, you know, everybody's smoking weed now and just the air is just so thick and polluted and you know how it is up here. You know, it's
everybody
just
smoking weed. Yeah. Blame it on the hopheads. Yeah, you know,
I'm just adding.
And not only is it that problem with them smoking reefer, then they'd be burning that incense too. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, blame it on them.
No, you know, man, don't put me out there like that, because you know, I have my own personal reflection about that, but no, just looking at the quality of air, you know, and looking at the air that we breathe and the necessity that we use it, and without even thinking about it, and how easily we pollute it. You know, how easily we mess it up, you know, but we need it.
Yeah.
And
I'm kind of nudging you a little bit.
That's how we get down, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. He'll do that to me all the time. So anyway, so thank you for sharing that. And I just wanted to share that little bit there.
On the heels of what you're saying, there's something else to consider, you know, and that is when you start recognizing symptoms, it means maybe changing, you know, behaviors. You know, like I noticed that there's certain things that last longer or tend to repeat itself more often. I need to change my way of dealing with it, you know, like things like drinking more water. Drinking cold water, you know, changing the diet, you know, recognizing the things now more than ever before that sometimes, you know, stir up the sensitivities of my sinuses, like dairy products, you know, cause mucus. And that drainage, man, that can, you know, cause me to have restless nights, you know, that, you know what I'm talking about, where you're constantly being interrupted every hour or so, you know. And, you know, it's a matter of what Nephew Ray likes to say is, you know, letting the body be the thermostat. Let the body, you know, be the indicator of things that are either getting better or things that are getting worse. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, we know that the quality of the air is poor. I need to pay attention to how that's affecting me, you know, even in the areas where I'm used to affecting me. That's the point. That's the point of doing what we're doing, you know, to raise awareness, to raise consciousness, you know, to raise, you know, the levels of our abilities to use that vehicle that we carry around with us all the time called our bodies that are constantly giving us data. You know, so I just wanted to, that's what I was trying to hurry up and skip up to, just to get to the, you know, the point of resolve, you know, so I'm, you know, I apologize if I tweaked you a little bit for wanting to nudge it along.
Oh man, no, it's just that's how we get down, man. It's all good.
Yeah.
That's a part of us bridging our own gaps.
You know, you raised an interesting point, even though you said it, you know, kind of quickly, you know, about reefer. You know, what a lot of people don't have a memory about the history of marijuana in this country. You know, back in the 60s, back in my hippie days, you know, what we were called bippies, you know. Where you know, marijuana was more homegrown, was more of a pure product that hadn't reached the hybrid state where all of these different buds, you know, have created this phenomena that now is being sold in head shops. There was this organization called NORML, which was NORML, N-O-R-M-L, the National Organization for the Repeal of Marijuana Laws, and its sponsor was Playboy Enterprises, Hugh Hefner. You know, and it was then the intention of NORML to help set regulations and legalization of marijuana that would, in fact, if it had been done 40, 50 years ago, would not have created that legal reaction to, you know, the drug. Instead, we would have had a more clear understanding of its scientific medical value. So I just want to throw that in there right quick, you know, that there are things that we need to be aware of. You know, we need to be aware of what we're putting in our lungs. We need to be aware of its adverse effect. We need to realize that incense, although it seems wonderfully evocative, you know, it's smoke, you know, and smoke on top of smoke on top of smoke, compounded by the issues of poor air quality, can have a tremendous impact on the functionality of the human, of the being. So I think it's, you know, it's a broader conversation that than is usually held or is usually You know, it's rare that we get into a thorough debate. I don't know why. You know, I don't know why America seems to be, you know, the leading cause of a kind of a moral hypocrisy, you know, but, you know, it's the country we inhabit, and it's a matter of understanding that we may have more efforts being done to criminalize marijuana smokers than air polluters. Very important thing to consider next time we vote. So can I, for the next few minutes, shift into the next topic, or do we need to Adam made a hell of a comment. He said, you don't think about breathing until you can't.
Right. Absolutely, right?
That's a T-shirt. That's a whole comment, man. You know, and anyway, so what you think, man? Where are we right now?
Yeah, man, keep it going. Keep it going. I want to hear about these naps. I want to hear about these naps, man. What's going on with naps, man?
I was talking to your aunt Brenda earlier, you know, and she was asking me what I was going to talk about. I said, I was going to talk about naps. And she leaned her head over toward me and said, here, take one of mine.
Oh, like off her hair? What do you mean? Wait, what?
Yeah, she got a, you know, Brenda wears a fro. Yeah, take one of mine, you know. And so, yeah, but, you know, so anyway, I just thought that was
Let me pick this one off the back of my neck. Hold on.
So, neuroscience suggests, you know, neuroscience is amazing, you know. So neuroscience has suggestions regarding naps. You know, naps don't just feel amazing to the body. You know, the thing to consider, here's the point, you know. Naps just don't feel amazing to the body. You know, they are also amazing for the body. A midday snooze can benefit one's mental and physical health. The American Psychological Association, APA, you know, very important. Again, we're talking about scientific fact, you know, has pointed how naps can improve memory, learning capacity, immune system function, and mood. You know, our moods, right, tend to get a pass. You know, we just kind of accept our moods wherever they are until we have a, you know, a raise in consciousness and, oh, maybe I shouldn't have, you know, smack that brother upside the head. You know, he didn't know I had a bad thing. You know, lack of sleep, yeah, you know, lack of sleep is one thing. But considering that, okay, that's already happened, naps can help substitute, you know, what was missed the night before. Anyway, that's me talking right now. I don't know. What do I know? Research has also indicated how powerful it is for the body to rest and recharge during the daytime. You know, let me just continue. So the question is, how long should I nap? Now, you know, before I even get to that question, some people may be saying, my day is too compromised to consider a nap. Well, what are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, something that is akin to getting ready for bed? You know, or are we talking about a brief timeout? Everybody, and I'm being absolute in this, everybody has some time in their day that can be carved out for themselves. Course of a 24-hour day has some part of that day that can be carved out for their own personal benefit. All right, so I just wanted to make that statement, and then I'll deal with the, you know, whatever the reactive quality to that may be. The body moves through several sleep stages in regards to a nap. Stage one is the dozing off period. You know, we're all familiar with that. Stage two, muscles, heart rate, and brain activity begin to slow down. Stage three, deep restorative sleep. Stage four, also known as REM or rapid eye movement sleep, when brain activity picks up and dreams usually occur. Now, these are patterns of sleep, period. Whether it's stage one, stage two, stage three, or stage four, done at any given time, even during the course of the night. A lot of people doze off watching TV and then go to bed. So it's all in sleep patterns. But now we're prefacing sleep patterns as related to naps. So there's two things going on. There's the sleep patterns of bed, and the sleep patterns, you know, of nighttime, and the sleep patterns of naps, you know. And so therefore, there are different naps. There's the 5-minute nap, or that's what's called, you know, the power nap. It has a strangely effective impact on the restorative powers of the body. You know, that power nap can help increase memory, decrease drowsiness, which a lot of people think is contraindicated. It's like, I take a nap and I wake up and I feel more drowsy than when I dozed off. No, we're talking about different qualities of naps. A power nap helps to defeat drowsiness. You know, when you, a power nap is like that 5-minute break from when, I don't know, do you have a time during the course of the day where your body just feels like it can't tune in anymore? The suggestion here, 5-minute nap or a power nap, will help alleviate that. It can also help quiet down the nervous system. And I don't think enough can be said about the value of naps in regards to dealing with, you know, the nervous system. So there's the 5-minute nap. Then there's the 20-minute nap. I'm looking at the clock. I might go a little bit over, but I'm going to try to be real quick because we're talking about the 20-minute nap, the 60-minute nap, and the 90-minute nap. And I, you know, hope to be able to kind of go through the course of these, and then you can always come back to them next week. The 20-minute nap, between 20 and 30 minutes, you know, is what science calls a sweet spot that provides enough stage two sleep. Now, it's a matter of remembering what these different stages provide. Stage two sleep, you know, muscles, heart rate, and brain activity begin to slow down. So when you take a 20 to 30-minute nap, you know, it allows the body to switch into full relaxation mode. But there's a caution in regards to the 20 or 30 minute nap, you know, is to resist, which is kind of a, how do you do that? Kind of a, how do you do that thing? You know, is to resist the temptation to move into stage three sleep or deep sleep. So it's a matter of really being cognitively aware. And I'm one who believes you can that a person can program sleep patterns. So if I know I'm, if I know I'm about to, you know, nap out, and if I want to, like, you know, extend it to 20 minutes, I can set, and I really believe people can set an internal time clock that says, you know, I don't want to go past 20 minutes. And I think it's easier to done when it's not drug-induced. I can't guarantee if that's going to work. You know, if I'm slugging down some grog or hitting the joint, you know, or I got a spike in my arm. So, you know, it might be a little
flash. You ain't going to have a lot of control on that at all, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, probably, you know, best done with no mood altering chemicals present. Although it is, you know, the most restorative process in regards to this nap process, you know, waking up during this stage can often cause grogginess. So that's what the caution is. Don't drift into stage three when, you know, it's not going to bed at night. You know, you slip into stage three and then you snap out of it. You know, even though it has its qualities that it's providing, it can cause, and I bet people, you know, I didn't think about it till I read. You know, there are times when I might be, you know, like napping at home with no concern about how long I'm going to nap, and something causes me to wake up, and I may have been, you know, moving into a deep sleep mode, and whatever that is that jars me to wake, or whatever the case may be, there have been times, you know, when I do feel kind of out of sorts. I wake up abruptly, and it takes me a minute to get, you know, reorganized, or, you know, I might not even be real clear about where I am in time and space. Yeah. And it may take a minute to get my sea legs. You know, I'm not, have you ever had that experience?
Oh, yeah.
Was afraid of
it? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, and not thinking about it, you know, although we're talking about napping, I think sometimes during the course of the night, you know, I wake up and have to go to the bathroom, and I get up out of bed, and it takes me a minute to kind of, you know, which way is the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not through the closet door. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
So moving out of the 20-minute nap and all those precautions. The other thing is when you slip into like the edge of stage three, we're already dealing with the grogginess of awakening. Now, we're talking about the middle of the day. We're talking about functioning in a high-functioning environment. Well, letting that nap go a little bit too long can make it difficult to shift back into full-functioning mode. So I'm at the office. I didn't, you know, got myself a good 20-minute nap, but it slipped into a little bit more than 30 minutes, and now I'm having to – somebody comes along and says, hey, man, wake up. And now I have to try to – you know, reorganize myself, and chances are I may not be too successful with that. I may be like looking at the clock, and you know, you ever notice the when you're feeling like that, the a minute takes an hour. You know, and I'm like, I try to say, okay, don't look at the clock, just yeah. You know, preoccupy myself. I say, oh, good, okay. Now, I really have been thinking about other things. I'm doing some work. I know a good hour must have passed. You look back at the clock, and only 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So then there's the 60-minute nap. You know, all sleep stages play an important role in our overall health, but deep sleep is where the magic resides. You know, whenever I read the word magic, I always think about you, man. You know, it's where the magic resides. The body repairs tissue, fortifies the immune system, and recharges energy storehouses. It improves information recall, learning, and the general cognitive function. Lack of deep sleep is connected to mental health issues like depression. You know, so again, and I want to stay within the realm of naps. Of course, I really want to move into the night world, but I'm going to stay, you know, I'm going to discipline myself and just talk about that 60-minute nap and what it has, what values it has, you know, to helping the body. You know, sometimes I believe do in a 60-minute nap during the course of the day what a night's sleep didn't do. And I know you've had nights, and I know I've had nights, and probably everybody out there have had nights when you just didn't get a good sleep in.
Yeah.
It just didn't quite get down into the core of the being, you know, and it wasn't like you woke up and wanted to get, it's like I'm awake now. I feel like my night was incomplete and there's nothing I can do about it. So whatever deep sleep was supposed to do during the night didn't get a chance to do its restorative powers during the day, that's where a good 60-minute nap may come in handy. You know, and I already know, I know the commentary on the side is, but, get to that in a minute, okay? Lack of deep sleep is connected to mental health issues like depression. While the caution is waking up in the middle of a deep sleep mode, we already talked about, you know, start moving out of stage three. So we already talked about the caution of not slipping into stage three if you're taking a 20-minute nap, but the awareness of when you start going into stage three sleep, the negative impacts it can have on you. There's still no getting around that when you go into a stage three nap or 60-minute nap, you do get the benefit of REM or rapid eye movement, you know, and that promotes creativity, improving sensory abilities and sensory skills. So, you know, the body, you know, it's almost like the body uses sleep as its own nutrient, as its own food, so to say. It's like, you know, I work all day doing the things as directed by the brain, more so than not. You know, sometimes I can do things, you know, automatically and unconsciously. But my body is always having to provide, you know, the modus operandi, always having to be the engine. You know, and sometimes, you know, the body just needs a break. So that's the whole point of this, to understand that things like REM sleep is also, you know, easier to wake up from. And a lot of REM sleep isn't necessary to help increase mental functioning. So I can still get the kind of repair work done during the course of a day that I didn't get in the recourse of the previous night, which is very important when it comes to processing issues. But I want to, you know, keep moving into the 90-minute nap, and I see I've already gone 6 minutes over. So I don't know. What do you think? Should I just hold off on this and cover this in the next show, the 90-minute nap?
Well, I'm curious, though. Is the 90-minute even effective? Because that seems like a long time to take a nap.
Well, it's an hour and a half, yeah. I mean, yeah, it can be. But, like, for a person like me who's retired, hey.
You're good.
Again, it's a matter of understanding, you know, the value of these things as applied. Because, it, you know, like, there's 7 days in a week, not five. You know, so there's still the weekends. There's still other times available. But I'm betting a dollar to a donut that if a person was really into thought repair, let's say, you know, then the idea of the benefits of a nap may be well considered. Some people, you know, work from the home. Some people have the kind of, you know, creative work that they do that may not require being at the office. Some people aren't office workers. Some people, you know, like, you know, have like delivery services. Some people, you know, maybe, you know, work in the kind of calling that allows them a lot of free time during the day as they may be preparing like shows at night, or, you know, like you have a brother who does, you know, his music ministry where he has a daily, you know, ministry service that he goes for about an hour and a half. He has his Wednesday night Bible study maybe, you know, then he has his Sunday service. He has other other things that he does during given times, like in the evening or whatever, but he has a lot of blocks in time that allow him to take restorative naps during the course of the day. And it's just a matter of understanding what our own time periods are, what our own patterns are, what our own schedules are, and see what's available in those schedules. Some people are workaholics, you know, and, you know, some people in being workaholics only know that high-functioning way of being.
Yeah.
So therefore, the idea of a nap may be a little bit more challenging, but it still has an area that can be discussed. But let me move into this 90-minute nap thing. A full 90-minute nap is, well, it's awesome. You know, keep in mind, the average sleep cycle is about an hour and a half anyway. So we go through sleep cycles even during the night. You know, and so a 90-minute nap or a 90-minute cycle is included in the night cycle. We're not just in REM sleep all the time. You know, people like me, you know, are light sleepers. So I know when I've fallen into like a deeper sleep, but I also know when I haven't reached there, you know, by the things that maybe disturb my sleep. But it's always been that way with me. So it's not as bothersome, but I really know when I have missed going into that deep sleep. But it's important to keep in mind that sleep cycles are about an hour and a half long anyway. So completing a full lap of a nap can work wonders for everything from physical performance to mood, that hour and a half. You know, mood, I mean, how much can we talk about that? Naps longer than 90 minutes can interfere with nighttime sleep patterns. So there's the caution. When your nap starts bleeding over into trying to go to bed at night, some people, you know, I tease my sister-in-law about taking pre-bed naps, you know, but she's able to, like, take maybe an hour and a half, two-hour nap, and then have enough space in between time before actually going to bed. That's her pattern. Everybody's sleep pattern is different, so everybody's nap pattern would be different as well. But it's something that a person is not unable to control, you know, or even tamper with. This is why I think it's important to know that there's variations in naps and what each of the variations can offer. So not everyone's likes, you know, not everyone likes to nap. And still others don't really get much from napping. So according to research, it turns out that although everyone needs to rest, not everyone needs to nap. Keep in mind that the average person keeps the engines revved all day long, maintaining a steady state of stress, which pushes the body's restorative needs into the night, what I like to refer to as the night world. And this can really put a lot of pressure on sleeping. See, if I don't give my psyche an opportunity to repair, which is what the night worlds offer, then keep in mind, whatever I wake up to, you know, whatever my first thoughts are when I wake up, that's pretty much going to determine how I'm going to spend my day. And if during the course of my day, I have a lot of residue from the unfinished business of the accumulative effect of not having enough sleep over a certain period of time, then how I spend my day is going to be how I spend my night. And this is, you know, this is the vicious cycle. So where does the restorative opportunities come into play? I got clutter. I got things that I carry into the night world. The night world is meant to help address the psyche. I'm not getting a full restorative night's sleep. I wake up. You ever had those times when you wake up in the morning and for about the first 20 seconds, let's say, everything is all right in God's world. And then around that 21st second, I think, I said, Chuck, you know, there's something that I didn't finish yesterday or the day before, the day, doesn't matter, you know, that, you know, and you start feeling that knot forming in the stomach. And here's the thing. Let's be sure we understand the spelling. If not, it's not K-N-O-T. You know, it's the N-O-T that causes the stress. It's the knot stuff, you know, things I'm not doing, things I'm not attending to. That's the knots that start forming in the gut before I've even, you know, gotten out of bed. Those are the things that sometimes keep people in bed. Of course, the problem is then more knots form, you know. So it's a matter of understanding that this vicious cycle sometimes, and this is what I'm offering, sometimes can begin, the pattern can be broken by considering at some point naps. Now, you know, it's, and then I'm going to wrap it up right here. There's some other things, but I'll get into that at another time. You know, there's things we can do to take a place. Okay, I just, you know, I'm so bit, you know the old joke, right? The businessman comes, you know, climbs a mountain to have a session with the Zen master. And, you know, the Zen master wants to know, you know, what's up with you? He says, well, you know, I just have problems operating in the world. I seem to always be under stress. I never have enough time to get my business done. I'm starting to have all kinds of physical problems. I even had a mild heart attack. And the Zen master said, oh, well, you need to meditate for about 10 minutes a day. The dude freaks out. Where am I going to find 10 minutes? I have 10 minutes. My 24-hour day runs 25 hours. It's just impossible for me to consider a 10-minute meditation. And the Zen Master let my man finish ranting and raving. He said, well, for you, my son, I recommend an hour. it's like what we have to understand is that the way we're living sometimes is killing us. You know, yeah. and there's no, you know, like Red Bull, you know, and happy hour after work and, you know, all the other distractions that we use to keep that engine rev eventually is what's going to do the engine in. And there's so many different forms of mental collapse that sometimes, you know, there's a bigger spectrum of psychosomatic and also diagnosable, you know, complications within the human mind that far expand beyond depression. You know, it's just the functionality of the being that begins to take on so often a different characteristic, you know, almost like another person emerges, you know, and I've seen that in myself even when
and
I've had too. Lack of sleep, you know. Yeah,
you've seen it in me.
You know, and over a course of time, it can set a stage for, you know, an unrepairable moment that doesn't even allow any kind of reprieve or amends making. Sometimes, you know, my behavior through lack of rest, lack of sleep, lack of restoration can create such a wedge between me and those I'm interacting with that it can't ever be recovered. Even though it's all brought on by sleeplessness, sometimes sleeplessness doesn't explain away, you know, abusive qualities of, you know, of dysfunctional dialogue. So things that can be done, you know, like, okay, I don't have time to nap. Okay, what do you have time to do? That's the first question I ask, you know. Do you feel like you're out of touch with your body? Do you feel like at any given time, you know, when I say you, I'm just saying anybody, you know, at any given time, I'm spinning my wheels and going nowhere. Is there any time in any given space of recognizable frustration where my thoughts are just not catching up with my actions or my actions are not truly my thoughts? Whatever it is, I just feel out of sorts. Well, something needs to be done, you know, and sometimes sleep aids ain't going, most of the time even. You know, I know sleep aids are very popular, but sleep aids don't promote a natural sleep. You know, what they help to do is relieve the angst or anxiety that interferes with sleep. You know, so the hope is the sleep agent will kick in enough that allows me to, you know, to get away from the distractions that keep me from sleeping. But I'll have enough time where the sleep aid would have worn off, already done its job, and then I'll be able to move into that natural state of sleep. That's the hope. But all too often, you know, I think of an example like Michael Jackson, the need to just have it, the craving of realizing that I'm missing it, sometimes just tells me I just want to be able to just not have to think. You know, well, okay. And that's all too often where, you know, external remedies come into play. And sometimes, like, too much caffeine, too much, you know, Red Bull as an example, you know, too much soda, you know, too much of a high-impact diet, you know, sometimes eating the wrong things right before I go to sleep, not knowing it. You know, like a peanut butter and banana sandwich is much more effective than egg McMuffin with bacon, right. You know, because of what bacon does, you know.
Is there such a thing as too much coffee?
You know, no, coffee's fine. And I tell you something about caffeine or like coffee. Let's pick on coffee. You know, sometimes too much caffeine will require that the body is going to have to go through a kind of a form of detox. Yeah. Because believe me, if I've, you know, over a period of time, if I've overdone my caffeine intake, then my body will tell me when my, you know, when my caffeine level is starting to hit that cautious range. It's like, Oh no, you need something to pump it up. You know, where's your chocolate? Where's some? You know, you dip down now. We're starting to have craving. You know, so it's like, hey man, you know, so it's sometimes the body like you say, well, I'm going to have to detox from this. You know, and I remember when I stopped drinking and then eventually stopped smoking, one went right with the other. I found at first it was just a new taste, but later became a craving. You know, in sweets. Sweets were never popular to me. It was something I really had no desire for. But when I stopped smoking and I stopped drinking, you know, well, remember, alcohol is a tremendous caloric intake. There's no quality to that calorie, you know, but keep in mind, sugar is really the only food that the brain processes. So if I'm drinking a lot, I'm giving a false message to my brain because of the sugar, the caloric quality of alcohol, that I'm full, you know, when in fact the calories in alcohol have no nutritional value, giving the brain that false indicator that I'm full is why so many alcohol abusers or alcoholics who wind up in a rehab program are all too often borderline malnourished, you know, because we just convinced ourselves through drinking and smoking and we're not hungry. You know, so there's a dynamic of drinking, which is a depressant, and the quality of smoking, which is an accelerant. You know, the body itself is trying to function in between the two. And sleep patterns that are designed to help repair that are just overworked. You know, not the body's just so overworked that sleep patterns can't be effective. The same thing can happen to any, you know, person who has fallen into any kind of addictive behavior, including work. You know, that sometimes we just so overwire ourselves that the body can't get enough rest, you know, to be able to repair the things that have gone haywire. So naps definitely help. Meditation, deep breathing exercises help. Lying with your legs up against a wall for about 10 minutes help. And how that helps is that it, you know, relieves the heart of the pressure of having to deal with the constant flow of pressure of gravity on the body, you know, connecting with nature. Now, connecting with nature, this is me talking, you know, connecting with nature is not so much, as much as possible, rather, let's just put it this way, as much as possible, connecting with nature means disconnecting from distraction. So not walking, connecting with nature, but not walking. You know, connecting with nature and not talking, you know, connecting with nature and not driving, and connecting with nature and avoiding noise. Man, I don't care what anybody says. I can't tell you what the quality of silence can do for the body. You know, if you don't believe me, just try not talking for a minute, you know, and just hear the brain just still chattering away. Is like, how do I turn off my thoughts? Well, the first way to turn off your thoughts is to shut up. Don't give it that outlet, you know. And the way to compensate for it is to breathe. The brain is so designed, you know, that consciously it can't do two things at once. So if I'm really concentrating on my breathing, I won't be thinking about my thinking. But I'm not breathing if I'm thinking about my breathing. So that's the importance of deep breath exercises. If I'm breathing in and breathing out, you know, in a cyclic motion with no break in between, thoughts can't get in there. But it's a hell of a discipline that requires constant effort. If a person can breathe uninterrupted in a full cyclic motion for about 5 or 6 times, you know, or 5 or 6 seconds, wow, they've done a lot. That's how much activity is going on in our brain. It can't handle that distraction of not taking charge for any more than about 5 or 6 seconds. So it takes work to get to that place, you know, and that sounds contraindicated. So I'm working toward not working. Well, yeah, but you're working in a healthy way. So any times I can take a break in nature but not actively involved in it, you know, like not walking, not talking, you know, not doing driving. You know, because a lot, you know, like I drive and helps me meditate a lot, but that's not the same form of inactive meditation that I'm speaking about, because it still is a process that the brain has to go through. And last but not least, you know, prioritizing intimacy and connecting with those you love. Man, Amen. So there it is. Sorry, I went all the way over. I ain't sorry. Thank you for letting me go all the way over, you know, and get all this out. So there it is.
Right.
The value of the nap.
Right on. Right on. Let me do that one more time. Then. Thank you. You know, a lot of times on the show, you know, a lot of times on the show, we talk about being able to balance, being able to ride this wave of life that we all deal with. And, you know, I think that what you presented to us is a key point to that. I know a lot of us that are in my age range and in my generation, you know, we might joke about us taking naps because we're getting older. Oh, my God, I need to take a nap. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, we're getting older, but obviously it's more to that, you know, just because we're getting older. You know, I've been changing my habits, sleeping habits. I've been getting up earlier, and I've been finding that I need to just shut it down for a minute in the middle of the day. You know, maybe a good 20 minutes or so, and after that, I'm good to go. I'm good to go for the rest of the day. Yeah, the body and the mind, you know, sometimes needs a break. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well, Ray, you know, Adam, I kind of had tuned out the chat room, and I apologize for that. So I missed comments. You know, Adam talked about the fact that the siesta was abolished in 1944 in Mexico. Well, you know, too bad, Mexico. But that doesn't mean people can't still take a nap, you know,
no,
just maybe not in public.
Yeah.
And Ray said, you know, most shortcuts that we use to fuel the body is the very accelerant that slow boils the frog to death. You know, absolutely. You know, you put a frog in water and just gradually increase the temperature of the water. The frog doesn't realize that it's being boiled to death. Until, as Adam put it, he can't breathe anymore, and it doesn't know what happened, you know. But sleep, and then Ray went on to say, you know, sleep and organically generated energy is so underrated in my book. I agree with you, Ray. A well-functioning body produces its own chemical provisions if given the chance to trial and error. Amen. Caffeine, libido, fulfilling appetite, so forth and so on. You know, and he mentioned his sister, Carmela, you know, having sent information, very valuable information on dealing with the quality of life. So I just wanted to sneak that in right quick. I know we're right at the cutting edge. Thanks again, man, for letting me go all the way over with this. And, you know, I really want to thank everybody who tuned in for hanging in, you know. And but, of course, I might have put them all to sleep, which is good. I used to tell people in my classes that I used to run that I do not get offended if you fall asleep in the class, because that what that tells me is that you really trust the environment. All right, man, I'm done, amen.
Well, so, you know, again, thanks, Dad, for sharing that, the naps.
Thanks for
letting
me, man. Amen.
And Ray, I'm looking forward to getting some of that information from Carmela.
Yeah.
Adam, thank you again for your
input. Yeah, send it
well
to me too, Ray. I'd absolutely love it. Yeah, man. Yeah. What did you say, Will, to Adam?
I was just saying thank you, Adam, for holding down the conversation in the chat room as well. Just giving shouts out to everybody that I see tonight, especially all my family down there in Texas. I see a lot of area codes down there in Texas. Thank you all for listening on the phone line.
Yeah.
And thank you for those that are listening online as well that we may not see. We appreciate the time that you took to share with us and be a part of the show.
Absolutely.
So this is the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show.
Show up. Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, here we provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and the experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. So I'm Will. That's Bill over there.
I'm Bill.
Again, we are live every Monday and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/The Greenhouse Effect. As always, we ask that you all please be safe, be blessed, most importantly, please be yourself, because, man, look, everybody else is taken.
Amen.
Amen. We like to always be thankful for all the crazy things that happen that make us who I am.
Remember why.
Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Amen.
Love you.
I should be crying.
Love you too.
My heart just won't obey. If you stay, it should be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain.